Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fadero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright, the Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Ready to come. Wait, see.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever. This is an episode you thought you weren't going to get a Justin Fields player profile. You were freaking wrong. There was no way we were leaving this out. I am here, Dynasty Madman, at Dynasty Madman on Twitter. Jeremy, how the hell are you?
You're damn right. I'm here, and I'm feeling pretty good, buddy, because we're talking about the quiet assassin, Justin Fields.
Yeah, man, and thanks a ton for coming on. I know you've been watching Justin Fields for a while, and I mean, I didn't even really bring you in that good. I think you all know Jeremy, though. Maybe that's me taking it for granted that you do. You should be listening to him on Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, Off the Rails. Smart dude.
Yep. Thank you.
Some bad things about him.
Yes.
He does like Ohio State. He is
very much
below me in that aspect, but that I just
in latitude.
And but what better person to bring on? The first question I kind of typically ask people is, why did you pick this player? But I think that's almost like no such thing as a stupid question, but maybe a little bit.
I don't think it's stupid.
Because
I think it's
Jeremy
a good question.
Has a tweet from December 5th, 2020 that says Justin Fields 101.
Yes.
He also has his profile picture is Justin Fields no matter what. There is no new news. There is no better person to have on here to talk about Justin Fields. But yeah, I guess why did you pick Justin Fields?
Yeah, thanks, man. First of all, thanks for having me on here and thanks for letting me do Justin Fields. I've been a huge fan of Fields since before he even came to my alma mater, Ohio State. I know that kind of tips my bias right there because I'm an Ohio State fan. And, you know, that's where I met my wife. I went to college, got a degree there, right? It's ingrained. But we were fortunate at Ohio State to get Justin Fields. We didn't know Kirby Smart was really Kirby. I'm not so smart. And decided that Jake Fromm, State Farm, was a better quarterback for his team and let Justin Fields slip away in the transfer protocol to Ohio State. Thank you very much, Kirby Smart. You're my favorite other team coach of all time because Justin Fields was a major get. I mean, you're talking about a top shelf player, Swags, that came out of high school. Everyone wanted as much, maybe more, than Trevor Lawrence. Killed it in the Elite 11, actually destroyed Trevor Lawrence in the Elite 11 competition. Came out of that with Trent Dilfer calling him the quiet assassin because the dude just gets up and keeps on ticking and just pass after pass just looks the part. So I play a lot of Devy. Already loved Justin Fields. Already owned him, you know, already was excited about him. And then he transferred to Ohio State that 2018. So just love the guy and finally had a quarterback at Ohio State that was not, you know, hey, let's do some RPOs. Let's be a, you know, an option quarterback under Urban Meyer. You know, Ryan Day's offense opened up the playbook, added some stuff. Then when he took over, just amazing downfield passing, lots of cool stuff that replicates what's done in the pros. Ryan Day was, you know, a pro coach at one point, not a head coach, but, you know, served under a lot of smart people and, you know, took stuff to college that's very translatable to the pros. So a lot of reasons, right? The Ohio State fan, the lover of Justin Fields, right? The like big proponent of Justin Fields. And then just the, you gave me a choice to pick a player. And here's the biggest reason why I can't believe that he is undervalued and underrated. And he is.
Sure.
You're talking about the Ferrari of the five or whatever quarterbacks, a deep class of quarterbacks this year. You're talking about the Ferrari, the Lamborghini of the group.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to build a quarterback on your computer and, program everything you wanted in, a la Weird Science, and come up with the perfect guy to run your offense, any offense, really, but let's just say San Francisco's offense, you're drawing up a guy, you're drawing up Justin Fields. He can fit into any offense. He's got the athleticism. He's got the passing, crisp passing, big arm, super smart kid, right? He's dialed down in his temperament. He's the quiet assassin. Like, you can't tell what emotion he's feeling as from play to play. He's that gathered and mature. It's unbelievable to me that we aren't talking more about him, and not just the fantasy football people, everyone.
Right. And I think it's a tremendous smokescreen, bro. For all of the wrong reasons. And you've mentioned to me in the past, as we're setting up for this show, like some of the epilepsy issues and stuff like that. Now they come in to more people's eyes. Do you think that is the problem with his draft capital at this point, or do you think it's what you said before I alluded to this, that it's a smokescreen?
I think that it has to be a smokescreen. First of all, the negative commentary that we're hearing, that people are suddenly basing their consensus, if there is one, on, is really all the talking heads, all the big mouths on Twitter. And some of them come from, you know, NFL reporting, and but they're not coming from coaches. They're not coming from the NFL. None of those guys have said a bad thing about Justin Fields, as far as I know. I haven't seen it. It's all the people who used to work in the NFL. It's all the guys that think they know everything about the draft that are doing this. It's even
some beat writers.
Schefter saying that Mac Jones is a better fit in San Francisco. I'm not saying Mac Jones can't play football and be that fit for San Francisco and kind of hold it down and do it. But why would you want a game? Why would you trade up to three for the game manager, for the guy that throws the ball downfield but wasn't even as good as Tua underneath? I don't understand why. Why would you do that? So all of these things that are said almost beg the question for me. Like, why do you think these players are better than Justin Fields? And there really isn't a good answer. You don't take a one-year wonder in Zach Wilson, trade up to the third overall pick,
right?
A guy who played for BYU against whatever competition and had, like, wasn't even voted a captain. I'm sure he's a great football player, and you want to draft a guy like that if you have a chance.
Yeah.
But not when you trade up to three overall and you have a shot at Justin Fields. Why would you do that?
And okay, so at this point, we're holy shit, I'm so excited. Less than a week away from the draft. Like, I can't wait. What kind of draft capital do you think is actually going to go into Justin Fields? Do you think that he gets what you feel he deserves, or do you think that he really falls to like a 107 or 109 area?
That I can't tell you for sure. Here's what I know. The Jets seem to be looking at a quarterback based on everything we know about their offense. People say, the consensus says, that they think Zach Wilson is going to fit their offense great. But taking Zach Wilson to me is a total Jets, you know, Jets franchise kind of move. Honestly, I think any team at the top of this draft should draft Fields. I really do. I think if San Francisco passes him up at three, it's a huge mistake. I really don't think Shanahan will make that mistake. Trey Lance, I love. I think he's a guy that could fit in San Francisco based on what he did in college as well. Maybe even did more things than Fields did, even though Fields could fit in any offense. Maybe more in the vein of San Francisco, but with a year less reps than Fields, who has a year less reps than Trevor Lawrence. It doesn't make a lot of sense if they're trying to make a move and capitalize on the talent they have now. I mean, they have Garoppolo, but do they really want to ride that out? So I'm thinking to myself, if Justin Fields doesn't go 101, because we have the golden child in Trevor Lawrence in this draft going probably by all accounts at 101, and he should, you know, yep. He's got another year of, I don't think he's necessarily going to be a better NFL quarterback than Justin Fields, but I have to think that if the Jets are foolish enough to go with Mitchell Trubisky 2 and Zach Wilson, or you know, the one-year wonder kind of deal there, or if San Francisco goes with Trey Lance at 3 instead of Justin Fields, any team is going to be shitting all over themselves to move up to get Justin Fields in that space because of the kind of prospect we're talking about. It's got to happen.
I mean, the Patriots.
Yeah, 27, or I'm sorry, let's say three picks go and Fields is still on the board. You know, 29 other teams are going to be shitting themselves trying to get up to get Justin Fields. Any of them that need quarterbacks that don't have franchise guys. And that's a lot of fucking teams.
Yeah. There's a lot of teams without quote unquote franchise guys. I even wonder, like, what happens if we get to my Detroit and he's there at 107.
Oh, my God.
Do they roll with Goff, or do they move back?
No. No, They I don't know. I would not roll with Goff. If I'm a professional football team that even thinks I need a quarterback next year, I feel like this kid is like, I feel like this is the golden child and the gem of this draft class.
For him to throw the ball to.
Right, there you go.
I have nobody for him to throw. Quentin Cephas, what, that's his wide receiver one?
Goff's going to need receivers. I mean, he had three great receivers before he came to Detroit, and he's not used to throwing to just, you know, making. He's not the guy that's going to make wide receivers, you know, like Tom Brady does, like some other quarterbacks are able to do. You know, Favre was able to do that. Rodgers, there aren't, not every quarterback can make receivers. There's a synergy for sure. Maybe Goff will be okay, but dude, you guys have nobody in Detroit. And so you're saying that maybe you don't go with a quarterback because there's so many other things that you need and you do have Goff signed.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would still go with Fields if he's there. I don't think he's going to be there. I really don't. I think he's going in with that third pick to San Francisco. Listen, Shanahan is one of the brightest guys in football. Young mind. He has the best offense in the NFL. He's able to scheme guys open every down, sometimes multiple players. So dangerous. The one thing that offense is missing is an elite caliber quarterback. Who do I think is the elite caliber quarterback in this class? That should still be available after the 101. Justin Fields. And he fits because Ryan Day's offense did a lot of things similar to what Shanahan's offense does, even more so than what we hear about Sarkisian's offense, right, for Mac Jones. It's much closer to Shanahan's offense than Mac Jones. And I just don't see – I'm not sure where this Mac Jones talk came from. I would be flabbergasted if they pick him at three. I think that's just a huge mistake. And you guys need to take Fields because we want to see the Detroit of old with Stafford to Calvin Johnson, Megatron stuff.
Oh, I mean, that'd be nice. Is there a team that you could think of that you – don't really like for Justin Fields that maybe you see his floor?
I hadn't thought about that too much.
I hadn't really either until now, to be completely honest with you.
But I don't know if I can answer that question. Like, thanks for asking it.
What do you think is like ceiling and floor is then?
What do you mean? Ceiling as far as team or ceiling as far as player comp? Or
yeah, kind of like fantasy-wise maybe a player comp.
Russell Wilson. I think the best analogy I saw so far was Russell Wilson with size. He's got the speed. He's got the, you know, he was a baseball player like Mahomes and Wilson. He could have gone pro in that sport, chose football, dedicated himself to it, much like those guys. A lot like Russell Wilson, that calm, cool, collected, still fiery, you know, getting the team up. You know, a little bit like Deshaun Watson. The build, I think, comes into play, though, not the massages. I really think Russell Wilson makes the most sense. He's just a bigger, more athletic specimen of a Russell Wilson. And we've seen how good Russell Wilson has been in the NFL, especially when Seattle's unleashed him and let him play football. That same kind of savvy, I think that's the ceiling. Honestly, to me, the floor would be Dak Prescott.
Ah, that's a damn good floor.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, honestly, you know what move I like? And I thought of this as you're talking, but I like Matt Ryan getting traded to the 49ers. And then them taking the Falcons taking Fields at four there.
Really? That's interesting. I really don't have a problem with where he goes. The kind of offense that Ryan Day ran, you're not going to take Fields to a team and be like, oh, my God, he's never, ever seen this kind of stuff before. They did everything. You know, they didn't do a lot of the piddly shit that Clemson did with Trevor Lawrence, but they did a lot of things that you know, like even in the screen game, they did a lot of action in the screen game for him, passing to running back. So I don't see a bad place. I mean, I would see bad situations based on like bad coaching. I'll tell you, I like what the Jets are doing with their offense and the coaches that they brought in. I don't want him to go to the Jets. I feel like the Jets is one of those places where, you know, your dreams go to die. I'm sorry, but the Jets have been so bad with like their choices in drafting, the, you know, all the things that they've done. Maybe Fields could buck that trend, but it scares me. But thinking about him even going to Jacksonville at 101, if that craziness would ensue, or San Francisco's ideal though.
I like San
Francisco. Shanahan's in place. Everything's there. They have a really good defense. They have a great offense. They have one of the best coaches. I mean, that's why I think Shanahan's going to draft him, because if you plug in Fields, you've just taken your team to the top. They already have the best offense. I think that's the only thing they're missing is that thoroughbred quarterback.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just, dude, I agree with what you said about the Jets. And because last year I was the guy that was kind of saying like, oh, buy the Jets players low when Gase is gone, wheels up, you know, no quotes. But and now that Gase is gone, I'm kind of like, huh, I still want to sell all my Jets players. I don't feel like that worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of like, I agree with you, man. I'm not excited for the Jets. I mean, obviously, if like whoever goes there at 2 overall, you're getting a starting quarterback in Superflex. But I'm with you. I kind of hope it's not Justin Fields.
Yeah. And when you think about the NFL, they do throw a lot of screen passes. Trevor Lawrence will fit in perfectly well. I think he had the most screen passes in the entire NCAA last season, whereas Justin Fields was well down the list. I mean, he was pushing like 90th ranked quarterback at screen passes. The thing is, any good quarterback, any accurate quarterback can throw a screen pass. Just a lot, you know, some offenses don't do that. And when you play at Ohio State and you're able to drive the ball downfield, which is what we all love in fantasy, right? Mm-hmm. Driving that football down the field. Fields has 17 touchdowns on throws over 30 yards downfield. I think that's since 2019. No other quarterback has done as much. I mean, that's telling. Able to drive the ball down the field, plus all the other incidental stuff that you see quarterbacks do on good programs like Ohio State. He can throw the short ball. It just wasn't a big part of their scheme. He wasn't just dumping the ball off to his playmakers. He was making plays.
So I apologize if you kind of answered this within the show, but what quarterbacks in this class do you maybe feel a little bit lower on than consensus?
Mac Jones, for sure. And Zach Wilson to a degree. I see Zach Wilson's playmaking ability, his ability to get rid of the ball. You know, he's got a quick release. He's a playmaker. He really is. He hasn't been the guy for 8 years like Justin Fields. Neither has Mac Jones. I mean, Mac Jones almost wasn't the starter for Alabama.
You didn't think for a second. You were like, Mac Jones.
Yeah, he wasn't even necessarily going to be the starter. They have guys waiting in the wings that are more talented. Like, you know, he was ready to do it, and it was almost a surprise, really, that he got and played so well. They did tweak the offense to benefit him. More passing downfield, more of a game manager role. You know, they used his intelligence, and he has good anticipation, no doubt about it. He can read and see what's going on pre-snap, but he's not even as good as Tua at delivering strikes, accurate passes underneath crisply, like with timing. But he was smart enough to make up for that, and they did tweak the offense to allow for more of a game manager role where you can be sort of the pocket passer. I don't think anybody has trouble finding the guy that can stand there statuesque in the pocket. Today's NFL is about making plays, you know, unscripted at times, but the better athlete you have, the better player you have. And I know that's why people like Zach Wilson for the NFL, because he's able to do unscripted stuff, get outside the pocket, still deliver an accurate pass while running. Trey Lance is good at that too. Big fan of his. But when you have a guy who's so athletic and a Justin Fields, and you realize the NFL is valuing quarterbacks who are able to create plays on their own and still keep the offense moving, a la Patrick Mahomes, a la Lamar Jackson, Cam mm-hmm. Newton before that, not the best passer, big arm, but not the most accurate, crisp passing guy, but a supreme athlete, a big guy,
big player,
able to withstand the hits. When you realize that those are the teams, especially in fantasy football, that we want the quarterbacks of, you realize that Justin Fields is the logical choice for something like that. When you consider how good he did at passing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like the guy's a terrible passer or, you know, has terrible grades or something's wrong with the way he behaves. There is literally nothing negative to say about the guy. He played at a high level program. He was unbelievable behind the line of scrimmage, and he also did fine outside of the, you know, shotgun plays. He didn't play he didn't play right at the line of scrimmage. You know, what am I trying to say? He didn't play under center. Jesus, he didn't play under center as much as Trey Lance, but he did a lot of it. He showed that he can play like that. And also, second to Trey Lance, Justin Fields had that kind of good play action offense that he ran.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Trevor Lawrence was kind of kind of terrible in play action. Like, I don't think he really didn't do a lot of it. But you're talking about a rookie that comes in with a lot of experience and playing in different in an offense that would fit different teams, play action under center, who's able to make plays on his own. He and Trey Lance are the two guys in this class that did stuff every game they played that made it look easy, but it's totally not easy to pull off some of the moves. I mean, we saw Justin Fields throw a pass and then chase down his own receiver and knock the would-be tackling, touchdown-saving defensive back out of bounds at the end of the play for a touchdown. Yeah, he caught up to both of those players and did that. That's the kind of athlete you're talking about, the kind of smart guy you're talking about, an elite kind of play. And I think Trey Lance could be in this conversation with his abilities too. He just doesn't have the reps. He doesn't have a complete season behind. You know, they had that one sort of, hey, we're playing a game this year to show, you know. It didn't matter. Like, he's definitely more of a project for the NFL. He's not as ready. But those are the kind of things that the NFL values. Guys like that make things. Zach Wilson tried to run a play like what I was describing of Justin Fields, it would probably look like he just made the last play he's ever going to make on earth. And he'd do it. He'd probably do it lights out. But he's not doing that multiple times a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's second nature and, you know, completely holding his breath. Like, we're just not talking about the same kind of players.
And I mean, coming to the next level and doing it at the NFL level.
Yeah, and I even want to see Trevor Lawrence when he's not the anointed golden child in a program that nurtured and took care of him throughout, with some of the best coaches in the country, perfect situation. When he's faced with adversity in the NFL for the first time, he's not, you know, king of the mountain, and see how he deals with that in his pro career. I like him. I think he's the right choice at 101 if you're an NFL team, because he's got that extra year. He played well at Clemson. There's a lot to like there. I certainly don't think he's a better quarterback than Justin Fields. I do not.
So let me ask you this, because you also, you kind of compared Justin Fields to Tua earlier, and I feel confident
I was
saying that you like Justin Fields more than Tua.
Yeah, my point was that was really Mac Jones and Tua. That I think Tua was better at a lot of things than Mac Jones, and yes, Justin Fields is better than Tua. So are we comparing Mac Jones to Justin Fields?
How would you compare this quarterback class to last year's, like Herbert, Tua, and Joe Burrow? Like, how would you compare those classes? Both pretty nice classes.
Yeah, I think Joe Burrow is an above average quarterback, but I would put Justin Fields up there with Justin Herbert as the two best prospects, of
Ooh,
course,
nice.
The two best quarterbacks of the
there
two classes,
okay.
Just above Trevor Lawrence and then and Joe Burrow and probably the rest of the guys. I mean, there's a lot to like. I don't want to be negative and rip on all these quarterbacks. It's a tough position to play. They're all really good.
Yeah,
I'm not an expert on all the X's and O's.
It's a nice quarterback class for sure.
It's a great quarterback class for fantasy football. It's a really strong quarterback class for the NFL. There's a lot to like. I just take issue with people thinking that these other quarterbacks with like 1 year in and underdeveloped at this point should be drafted ahead of Justin Fields.
They need
I think that's
to
insane.
Talk about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's a bit crazy to do that. And yeah, so Tua, you know, give the guy a chance. But Justin Fields would be ahead of him in this class. There's no doubt. And hey, the same thing happened to Justin Herbert. You remember last year's fantasy football draft.
Yeah.
Even the NFL, how that went. Elite prospect, great at every sport he played, best player on all of his teams, baseball, football,
great
all of
point.
It. Amazing player, played at Oregon. There were some, you know, setbacks, things, you know, they weren't the greatest team, some changes at coaches. It didn't fall into place with him, but he showed enough. He showed out. I said that last year. Again, I'm no expert at quarterbacks. I don't know all the X's and O's, but he just stood out as this is a guy that can run an NFL team, and people slept on him. And we were getting him in fantasy football drafts in the second round early on before the NFL draft, easily, you know, 201, you're getting Justin Herbert. And, you know, maybe things didn't come into play if they weren't so inept there in San Diego with puncturing the lung of Tyrod Taylor, that, you know, Herbert doesn't get that shot early. But I mean, the same kind of negativity that we heard about Justin
they didn't
Herbert.
Give Herbert that shot.
yeah, the shot, exactly. But I mean, honestly, that's one of the biggest knocks that I've heard about Justin Fields, that he doesn't throw with anticipation. because they have this downfield passing offense where he's able to dissect it and choose who to throw to. He held onto the ball a lot. He needs to stop holding onto the ball as long. He's going to get killed in the NFL. But it was the way that they needed to let plays develop. And sometimes, and then at the same time, oh, he held the ball too long. He didn't throw with anticipation. But if he did, if he recognized the post, the number one read, the post was wide open, and he nailed the wide receiver, oh, he doesn't read the field. No matter what he did, there was a negative drawback. Then you go and watch him play, and you're like, what's not to like? Are you crazy? Doesn't throw with anticipation. Didn't people say that about Justin Herbert and Josh Allen?
Yeah,
they seem to be just fine in the NFL,
right. Yep.
winning, and we all want those players now, especially Josh Allen. You saw the points he threw up last year. Everybody wants those players who don't throw with anticipation and couldn't make it in the NFL. Also, Patrick Mahomes wasn't ready for the NFL.
Right.
He's not ready yet. He's so erratic. He's got to get with the right program. Oh, he got with the right program. Andy Reid, who knew how to handle an elite player like that, that can make plays that no one else can make off script, and still smart enough to understand the offense. Sometimes you just wonder if people don't know what the hell they're talking about. Like, watch football, think with their own heads. There's right. just a lot of drama on Twitter. And I think, you know, you'd be better off sometimes staying off Twitter and just kind of thinking for yourself.
Thinking with your own head. Absolutely.
Right.
So there's one question. It's probably Uh-oh. Why the listeners are still here. I like to ask before we get out of here.
Oh, man. I'm not done.
The tough ones coming. No, this will be easy for you, especially with Dynasty Trades HQ, everything you do. What is a strategy that you feel should be, or something you might like to implicate into your rookie drafts in 2021?
For quarterbacks?
For anything, just in your rookie draft strategy.
Yeah, take a quarterback or Kyle Pitts. Most of us play in super flex leagues or in leagues that award tight end extra points for tight ends, or maybe you're starting two. I think Kyle Pitts is one of the top five talents in the draft. There are a lot of quarterbacks in this draft. I don't really have a strategy. I don't have a ton of first round picks.
You trade a lot of picks away.
Yeah, I do. I definitely mortgage the future for the present, trade away future picks. I can get them back at times, but I definitely trade away a lot of first round picks. I don't know that I have a strategy. I think you after we see landing spots for the NFL, I think you have to consider that. Some of the trends we've seen, Swags, Devonta Smith going way too low, 112 or into the second round. If that guy gets drafted in the first round, that pick that you just made just doubled in value probably. Mm. Certainly 50% more than you paid for it already. So you need to, you know, think about how far before the NFL draft, before we know landing spots, that guy's a huge value, regardless of what you think and who your favorite receivers are.
Right.
There are a lot in this class, but you have to know, finger on the pulse. People love Devonta Smith. People do love him by and large, and you should probably consider that. Kyle Pitts is probably going too low, and then Justin Fields should be at least as high as the second overall rookie pick in Superflex drafts, or you're crazy.
And you have to start to wonder, like, once people are doing their actual rookie mocks and not, or their rookie drafts, excuse me, and not doing the mocks, you wonder, that's when you'll really see how people feel, if they can really, like, live by their hot takes and
sure.
let Devonta Smith fall to, like, 112 or 201, you know what I mean? Like, are people really going to let him fall that late in a rookie draft?
Right. And I think probably the best advice I would give is, this is a great year to, if you need a player, this is a great year, especially at wide receiver. Just, you know, roll the dice on which one. There are a lot of receivers and almost a flatness to the curve on who to take. I mean, I like Rashad Bateman, right? I like Rondale Moore. I don't know if those guys are going to be better than the other wide receivers, you know, in the class, like Devonta Smith, you know, the Alabama guys. I'm not sure that, you know, I have the right answers. Case in point, if you need a wide receiver, this is a great draft class.
Yeah.
But also, if you need a wide receiver, trade your 2021 first for a 2022 first, and then keep your second, and then just draft your highest rated receiver in the second, because there's going to be a shit ton of them available to you. I mean, Elijah Moore is a heck of a wide receiver that's jumped up the board, you know, in recent months. He's just climbing.
Yeah.
Tiny little guy, fiery little guy, amazing wide receiver, tenacity. I love him. But like, some of those guys are going to be available in the second round that you like because Elijah Moore has climbed up the board, because people are hot, decide, oh my God, did you see where Terrace Marshall went? I'm going to take Terrace Marshall. There's so many in this class that the second round, the upper second round, is going to be a sweet spot for you to get a lot of good things happen. Yep, so I would trade away the first this year. Yeah, that's all I got, though. And this is a really good class to draft quarterbacks, especially after we see where they go in the NFL draft.
Yep,
it's going to be really helpful to all of us to make the choices on, you know, how highly they should be drafted. But I don't really have a lot of strategies. I know the 2022 class is supposed to be better, but I think people discount this class. I think they overlook several of the running backs in this class when they say it's a weak running back class. People overlook Trey Sermon. People dog on Kenneth Gainwell. Maybe Gainwell isn't a three down running back, but he could be like an Austin Eckler sort of boon for us, for a team, and for us in fantasy football. We have to see where he goes.
Man, I like the Ohio State mention of Trey Sermon a little bit better, to be honest with you. I like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was a good running back where he came from, Oklahoma. He's a good running back, you know. Coming into Ohio State, I really liked what I saw from him. I was surprised he played lights out, but nobody really talks about him. Oh, there's only three running backs in this class. Well, yeah, but it's arguable who you want to be, you know, in the who you rank in the sort of top four guys. And there's a lot of guys that will contribute. I don't think you want to spend money on them, but there are guys to draft. It's the exaggerations, the sort of Twitter everything up, exaggerate, jump on bandwagons, and then all of a sudden everyone's parroting in the echo chamber that this class is weak at running back. Well, maybe at the top. You know, there's definitely tier breaks, but there are good players to grab at every position in this draft. And honestly, Brevin Jordan, Pat Freiermuth at tight end.
There you go.
If Kyle Pitts weren't in this class, everybody would be on Pat Freiermuth in the first round, top of the first round, like we are about Pitts. And Brevin Jordan would be talked about more. Yeah, he's not as fast as we thought. He's, you know, maybe not as big as we thought, all of that. But his ability to just transition from position to position, H-back, and deliver at a high volume year after year for that offense, Miami, you know, he's going to be a good fantasy asset to grab. People, you know, want to wait on tight ends. I get it. But there's talent in this draft. And I think at times, because there's elite talent like Ja'Marr Chase, Kyle Pitts, there's the golden child, Trevor Lawrence, we forget that there's Justin Fields, there's Pat Freiermuth, there's, you know, Trey Sermon, honestly.
Yeah.
And remember, at one point, ETN was like God's gift. This guy, oh my God, the speed, the size, he's going to be lights out. And he's almost an afterthought. People are now talking him up as he should be the first guy off the board. Najee Harris looked so good in the playoffs last year. Like, I'm a believer now after seeing what he did to Ohio State's defense and what he did throughout the postseason at the end of the year. That dude looks incredible. You know, once you get past the top guys, maybe they're so good they're just kind of overshadowing things a little bit. Like, that's fine if they're in their own tier. By the way, Trevor Lawrence is not in his own tier. For you people out there ranking players and you have Trevor Lawrence tier one and that's it, you're nuts.
You are nuts, he says.
And I'm the Dynasty Madman.
Yeah, brother, I appreciate you. Tell them where to find you, everything you're doing. Thanks for making the time. I know we both have some busy stuff going this weekend. Glad that we could give them Justin Fields and so much more, I feel like, today.
Yeah, I'm happy to do it, man. The best dual threat quarterback in this class. Definitely all the physical tools, you know, you need in a franchise quarterback. And if it wasn't for some of the narratives in this class, we'd all be drafting him at 101. I'm the Dynasty Madman. You can find me on Twitter at Dynasty Madman with my friends Shane and Mike over at Dynasty Trades HQ. A hell of a lot of fun over there. And at Off the Rails Dino, which is a fun little project I do with some cool people in the industry here and there. Yeah, that's it, man. Me podcasting, researching college players, watching college football, ranking better than hopefully most of the other people so I can win my drafts and leagues. I won Pros versus Joe's division 2 years in a row. I should put that in my Twitter bio. I won Pros versus Joe's, my division, 2 years in a row, my only 2 years playing in it, because that's the kind of competitor you get when you follow the Dynasty Madman. I don't like talking about myself except on Saturdays like this. Yeah, that's right, man. What you just said, Swags, thank you.
I am at Swagzilla. Zero G. This is at Rookie Fever. This has been another fun player profile. We are sad to see these ending. Be sure to follow at @FF_Spaceman, at @ArtBarkTV. Man, go back and listen to all those profiles. Lots of good stuff.
Yes.
Saturday.
Dude, you need to start recording again as soon as you stop recording so we can do another 30 minutes, you and me, on Justin Fields. And we'll release it later for patrons. Rookie Fever patrons only.